La mejor estación de radio estudiantil en Leeds.
This is
Leeds Student Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Album Review Show. We are here with Izzy, Beth, and Adam and Kieran, who are first-timers here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Really well.
Yeah.
It's been a long day, and I've been running on coffee, so I'm here to give some exciting and keen opinions.
Are you really pumped up?
I don't know. I'm leaning in the chair, so maybe I'm not that keen. We'll see. It'll all come out just like a caffeine drop.
Loads
like,
of scores out of 10.
Exactly.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good to have other people on to give their 2 cents, because last week we kind of got a bit... We gave a lot of hate, didn't we?
We were very negative last week.
We were.
That's quite upsetting.
We need
everyone listening.
We need to give a bit
Who
more
Who were you
love.
Reviewing last week?
Gorgon City.
Oh, that was
and
cool.
Jessie Ware.
Oh yeah, no, we really liked Jessie Ware. We gave Jessie Ware.
We still were quite negative.
We were. We every time we think we like something, we always manage to find something wrong with it. So this is the thing. So we're here, and we've got so many different opinions. We've got a really exciting variety of albums coming up as well. We're looking at Taylor Swift's new album, 1989. And everyone here has a really different opinion about it. So that's really exciting. Like, Kieran, you love it, don't you?
Yeah. So absolutely love Taylor Swift.
And then Beth is like, no.
I love her. Just what is with this album?
Oh, wow. We'll get into
calm
that.
Down.
We'll get into that. Later. And then we've also got Mallory Knox coming up, which is really exciting, because you guys are going to school us about this great band, Mallory Knox, whose new album came out very recently. And then we've got Thurston Moore. So I feel like we've got a little bit of everything. First of all, we're going to be looking at Mallory Knox. So I want you guys to like tell us all about it, and like, do you want to just maybe introduce Mallory Knox a little bit?
Oh, I'm going to go first. All right.
Yeah.
Basically, I have the honour of many years ago. They formed in 2009 as a four-piece of two previous bands called Asenia and Era 404, and if they were listening, they're definitely probably not listening.
Yeah.
They'd hate me for bringing that up, because I think they just want to leave that in the past. It's the era of where everyone wanted to be Paramore, or like...
Yeah,
who doesn't?
They're like, well, I know, exactly. That should be left in the past. They then went on and made a new five-piece band. It was like a Cambridge supergroup, basically, at that time. And I had the honour of my terrible Britpop band from back then, which didn't really work with them at all. We played with them loads, and we became friends. And I got to watch them become super successful as
awesome.
They wrote more and more songs and just achieved greater success. Their first album came out last year and really made an impact. I know Radio 1 absolutely picked them up. It was Zane Lowe and Daniel P. Carter.
Yeah.
They just kept playing them all the time on Radio 1, and then more and more they got to play main stage Reading Festival last year.
Oh, no way. So they're, you know, moving.
That first time at Reading Festival, and they get to open the main stage. I think it was the same day as Eminem, so that was quite a contrast, as you'll hear the music.
Wow.
But they've been touring, playing with... other great bands. Everything's going to blank at the moment. I've got my laptop over here, but I'm going to leave it alone for now.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about them.
And before we get into the music, and before I go into the second album, it's their second album, Asymmetry, was released this week.
Woo!
On Monday. And they also had their latest single, Shout on the Moon, which was released on, I want to say, Saturday.
Did say Saturday.
I think this one at the moment is picking up probably the biggest commercial success. That is, I think it's A-list on Radio One at the moment as well.
That surprised me in a good way.
It surprised you? Why did it surprise you?
Radio One, I know they're trying really hard with the rock side of things at the moment, and it's cute, but
it's cute. Hello.
But no, I didn't think there'd be. But no, I'm happy for them.
You're happy.
I love them.
Awesome. That sentence didn't end. Hang on.
I'm excited for them, and I love them, so that's fine for them. Oh. I was just surprised.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to be listening to this song, Shout of the Moon, and it sounds like they're making exciting progress in the music world. So we're going to listen to the song that's making all these waves. So this is Shout of the Moon by Mallory Knox.
Freezing here for days. I've been longing for your company.
That was Shout at the Moon by Mallory Knox. You're listening to the album review show, RPM. You're here with Kieran, Adam, Beth and Izzy. And we're going to be reviewing some great albums today. But first, you guys are going to tell us all about Mallory Knox. What do you think?
Love that song. Just putting it out there.
I thought that were brilliant.
Yeah.
Going to the Brilliant, yeah, it's a cracker. Glad they chose that as the second single.
Yeah.
In comparison to the rest of the album, it's probably the most, one of the more emotional ones. Some of the tracks, I think the other single, Ghost in the Mirror, which we're going to be playing later on, is just more like a rock riff, kind of, let's just get on with it. and I think the album only came out this week. It was put on The Guardian last week for anyone. I know that you...
I did. I was so keen.
You were so, so keen to get on with listening to it. And I didn't have the time to sit down. I wanted to just listen to it from start to finish. And I got to do that on my train journey on Monday on the way home. I have 2 hours to kill. And I was just like, oh yeah, definitely, that's just come out this week, I'll listen to it. And it's quite hard to explain. I try and compare it to the first one, and seeing their style grow from what used to be, I think more, well, I don't want to say pop punk, but it was a lot heavier, and now as they grow each album or each like release of music, it becomes more, it becomes more commercial, but I think it's just they're growing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when they started, they were 20, I think, roughly. And now they're all 25, and I think...
It's just that maturity is really
maturity.
Coming through.
Yeah. I was just going to say with Mallory Knox, what I like about them a lot is how they're not too heavy anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I find them to be one of them bands that are a bit more accessible. Like, from that genre of music, it can be quite intimidating sometimes for people that haven't really listened to it, and I found Mallory Knox are really great at like just introducing the genre without being full in your face with it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm going to put this out there, and you're probably going to hate me for it.
Yeah,
but it really reminds me of Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, that is something. Mikey, the lead singer, the first time I ever heard it, I thought he didn't. There are one or two songs, earlier songs, that reflect upon it. Probably not new right. Fall Out Boy stuff.
No, I mean like Under the Cork Tree, kind of era of Fall Out Boy, which I love, by the way.
Yeah, not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all.
But it's they always go on about how they're, I think the main Sam Douglas, the bass player, is the one who writes all the songs. That's the best thing I was about to say. Compared to probably Taylor Swift that we're going to be moving on to later on the show.
Oh yeah.
There were probably with Taylor Swift a lot of songwriters and in the background kind of thing that's probably been involved. And I know that these guys wrote these songs themselves and like from the heart. And it's quite, and yeah, Sam the bass player writes pretty much all the songs. I don't know how. Obviously, I'm not in their band practices or anything like that. So I don't know how they come together lyrically or anything like that. It's just really interesting to see their style, grow up onto this one. It's a fuller sound. This album was produced by Gil Norton, who did Foo Fighters.
Oh wow, really?
And Jimmy Eat World and Brain Fart. I can't even remember. I'll get up or whatever. But it is their best produced album. There's probably a lot more money gone into it, and so listening into that, the full on choruses, the guitar tones, and everything sounds really beautiful. I want to say play the next track basically, because the next one, Heart and Desire, this is a softer one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my favourite.
I've only listened to the album now, but I haven't got my head around all the song titles yet. I just kind of go, it sounds like this.
Yeah.
Give it a week and I'll remember them all. but this is a softer one, so this will be even more emotional side of Mallory Knox.
Oh, okay.
You might, I don't know what style you've come up with Fall Out Boy off the first one. But let's see what you think of
I'm going to give you my review at the end. Kind of remain impartial for now. So this is Heart and Desire by Mallory Knox.
Bad moons and promises made that we left inside the darkness to our brightest day. As we walk alone, we'll find ourselves in a field from the love we've made. But the walls we built around will crumble and fall away. These bright lights, big dreams, they always meant the whole down world to me. I'm just sorry. With me.
Estación de Radio Estudiantil en Leeds.
This is
Leeds Student Radio.
Stop clicking along to the Spanish jingle.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So that was Heart and Desire by Mallory Knox, and you were fangirling hard over that, Beth, weren't you?
I was. It's my favourite of the album. I hate albums when you listen to them and they're just like, yeah, this is background music. Whereas when I listened to that, I was like, oh, this song. I like it.
Oh, really?
It.
Oh, that's good.
It's like... some of them, like the one, Thurston Moore one later, I was like, background music.
from like so one song.
But yeah, that's what that one really jumped out to me straight away, and I love it. And they're here in a few weeks, actually, on the 12th. They're in Leeds and getting to go. So it's exciting.
Oh, you're excited.
I can't wait. I'm going to be like,
you are going to be at the front, fangirling.
Love me.
Just love it. No, I love it. No, don't be. I love it when an album does that. It's so funny. It's just not something that I kind of would jump at. Like, it's not the kind, but I can appreciate how it's so well written and it's so well produced and stuff. But that was not in a patronizing way, but just the kind of music that I really liked when I was younger. Like, yeah. I loved it. It's got like a lot behind it. Like, it's really driven and really well produced. But it's just not something that I'd kind of jump at, I have to say. But like I say, I can appreciate it. So it's a weird...
That's all we ask.
Yeah. I can appreciate how it's written.
Yeah.
You can tell there's a lot of like sincerity in the lyrics.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of technical work in the way it's been produced. So it's not just something that's been shoved on as an album filler.
Yeah.
There was... I'm going to do another comparing manoeuvre here.
Go on.
Because that's the only way. It's not... because if this was their debut, I think it'd be much easier to review. But their first album, Signals, I think all the tracks on there, when I say they could have been like a single, they all stood out more independently. None of them sounded like each other.
Yeah.
If you remembered them, that's why it got like such killer reviews last time. It got like nines and stuff like that off loads of...
really?
It just stood out. It's not like people are like supporting them because like whatever goes on in the background of the music industry. They are actually producing like... Sorry, this is really weird. I can only see your eyes over the monitor. I just see different facial expressions.
Just, like, just see my eyebrows like, going.
Am I doing this wrong?
I'm smiling. I promise.
And I'll give my first thoughts on it. Listening on the train, about midway during the album, so probably between track 4, Shout at the Moon, and I'll go with this one, like track 8, Heart and Desire. Somewhere in the middle, it just slowed down a lot.
Yeah,
and. As a drummer, I love Dave the drummer. He's a really sick drummer. There is something about the speed. I think a lot of it is gushing like, oh, everyone's going all emotional with these songs kind of things. But songs that you normally get at like, the end of the album. And on either side are the full-on one, like the driving songs, which probably makes it really good for like when you're listening through as an album.
Yeah.
But as a collection, I'm not quite sure, like if how it stands out to me. I think I might end up when I listen to this album again. Just I don't know if I want to skip. Nothing to do with the quality of the songs, but maybe there's a way that the album could have been rearranged slightly better. Just in my opinion.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't it? I mean, only at a first listen as well. I'll probably get to it and go, oh, like looking at a dartboard. You'd never be able to rearrange the numbers in a different way. But you might go, no, that album can never be put in
a different order. Yeah.
After a few more listens, just in the first listen, I kind of there is a 7:20 track in the middle of the album. In the middle, that again,
interesting.
Like, yeah, the sort of thing you expect more towards the end. It's also interesting for anyone who is a fan of Mallory Knox. They have a deluxe album that's come out as well, which has 3 tracks. I remember them tweeting going, can't believe we had to leave these 3 tracks out of the main one. And so, they're urging everyone just to get the deluxe, as well as that probably being a massive buy the deluxe, it's more money. Not just that. That's just like what anyone would do. But when you add those 3 extra tracks on the end, it does, I think, make it more of an album. When you leave the album by itself,
okay, interesting.
It's a little bit like I was just saying, just pour your heart out all the time.
You're looking at me in the way.
I get glances with it every angle. They're just like,
but no, I know what you're saying.
Do you know what? I still really like it, and I think you'll understand what I like so much about the driving part of the song. There's another song I would have, if I got the chance to come in, I was called upon so late. I would have loved you to play The Remedy. But we've got Ghost in the Mirror, which was the first single.
Yeah, it's the first track on the album. Thought, you know,
this was like the comeback because they left it about a year before they released anything. Yeah. And they were just like, right, here you go, guys. And everyone went, hello. Like,
what's all this then?
And it is different from the first one. I think the best way to do it is literally just play it.
Before we play it, I'd like to give these guys a mark out of 10 for this album.
You're going
to
give them a mark out of 10?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to go first.
I'm not going to go first.
And watch everyone go for 7 or 8.
It's classic. I feel like maybe we should do it out of 100. No, I can really, I really like it in terms of its own art form and stuff, and I think it's so well done. And I'm gonna give it. I'm sorry, but I am gonna give it a
7.5.
Hovering around that mark.
Anyone else want to go?
Kieran, you go.
I'm more on your page, really.
I can't really progress beyond that, you know, without it twanging at my heartstrings, when it's just, you know, when you just kind of can't quite engage with a particular genre.
It's good, but it doesn't like jump out at you.
Yeah.
Like for me, it just doesn't shout like listen to me. It's just more, oh, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it to the side.
Exactly.
Sort of
like, oh, that was a good riff. Oh, well done. Yeah. What would you give it though, Ben?
Yeah, I'd say completely opposite to that. Like it does. I have listened to it all weekend because, like I said, they put it on The Guardian first, so I like managed to listen to it before. And
yeah.
I was just like, okay. I was waiting for it to happen. I've been waiting for it to come out for ages because I loved Shout at the Moon and Ghost in the Mirror. So, but yeah, I'd probably give it between an 8 and a 9 at the moment, but I still need to give it more time and think about it more. Like you said, with like the ordering of the tracks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I was too overwhelmed to think about it.
Okay, interesting.
Just like, wanted to listen to everything. Yeah. So,
Adam, what about you?
It's hard. I was thinking about it. I was waiting for you Beth to give an answer there because... if you are a massive Mallory Knox fan, I don't think you'll be disappointed with this album at all. I think, unlike
Which
a lot of people
important.
Go, oh, you've been waiting, and oh, it's a flop or whatever.
Yeah.
So you did the right, like, exactly what I want to. I want to give it, like, an 8 or a 9 because I really like the songs. From the other two side, I understand exactly where you guys are coming from, though, because it's not like... Because it's a second album, it's not like it's completely brand new. They're basically just moving on with their style of music. I had a push I would give it an 8. And I think that's because I think I prefer that at a push.
Mm.
But I might give it a 7. It's nothing to do with, because I do like the album. I think it's just compared to the first one. I'm doing a massive comparing session.
Yeah.
Here.
No, it's important, I think.
See, I don't... the first one took a long time for me to like. Mm. Which, now I'm surprised at, because I do like it. But I think this one grabbed... I don't know, it depends when you become a fan, though, because obviously
I think that's a really good point.
Very good point.
And it's not when I say it, it's not because they're not necessarily getting worse or anything like that. I think that now if you were to go watch them live, some of the songs might start to mash up a little bit more in a set list, where before, whenever I saw them live quite a few times, it would be killer non-stop, like almost Foo Fighters style. You just know everyone, just like, yeah, get in there.
Yeah.
And it might just be because you need to get to know the songs a little bit more. That was the thing. It came out 2 days ago. I want to listen to it more. I feel really unfair. I think if I came on in a week's time, I'd just be like...
10!
10!
100%. But yeah, no, I think I want to listen to it a bit more and then maybe come back to it. But I'm going to play the first track of the album, because I do think that the first track of an album is
this
so important.
Is a killer. This is probably my favourite.
And you know, yeah, no, it, and
even
you
though
know,
it's a single, it's probably my favourite.
But going in with a good open track is so important. So our final track from Mallory Knox is going to be Ghost in the Mirror. It's the first track off their new album. We highly suggest you give it a listen and let us know what you think. This is Ghost in the Mirror.
Thank you.
So we're going to take things in a very different direction now, and we're going to be looking at Taylor Swift's new album, 1989. It came out on Tuesday. The first song we're going to be listening to is called Style. So you're listening to the album review show, and we are now looking at Taylor Swift's new album. And, it's called 1989. It came out on Tuesday, and there's been so much talk about it, and everyone's so excited about it. It's very different to Mallory Knox that we were just listening to. What do people think of it? How's it gone down?
Rightly so, that there should be a lot of talk about it, because it is like a big change for Taylor Swift, I think.
Yeah.
I think it really signifies her maturing, both as an artist and as a person as well, going away from just writing about boyfriends, love life and all that. And you can really see with this album, with the track, she's took on a bit more of a mature writing style. There's still like the cliche sort of songs in there about love and boyfriends, but I do kind of, when I first listened to it, I did see there a bit of a progression. She's not just like playing the princess role, so yeah, to say.
like love story.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. There's been a lot of talk about that kind of maturity. I personally have never been like a massive Taylor Swift fan, not because I don't like her, just because I've never really kind of given her a chance. And it's funny because the songs that I know are all the songs that have kind of made it into the charts and stuff from, you know, Love Story, 15, 22, everyone, oh my God, on my 22nd birthday, everyone was singing Taylor Swift to me. And that's the only time I've ever heard it. People singing it at me, people writing in my birthday card.
That's like the really annoying thing I find with Taylor Swift, though. Like, not with Taylor Swift, but because I'm quite a big fan of Taylor Swift, and all the time I would get like, why do you listen to Taylor Swift? All she writes about is her boyfriends. All she writes about is this. And I could list the songs where she wasn't doing that. And I think it's just because these singles got so many like listen, so much attention, so much like airplay, that it was that is all people knew of Taylor Swift. And I really like the fact that with this album, the marketing for it has been this, I'm moving away from the relationship talk. And yeah, I really like the fact that people are starting to look at her in a different way.
Yeah, just growing up a bit and stuff. Because I think, and she was definitely saying like, oh yeah, before these albums have been about my boyfriends, my love life, but this album is now about me. Like, and yeah, she still makes reference to her boyfriends and her love life and stuff, but you can kind of tell that she's sort of trying to move away from it, talking more about herself. And I don't know, I still think there's that kind of intrinsic immaturity to it. But I think that is genuinely Taylor Swift. That's her brand, that's her fans. And it's funny because I listen to the album and I'm able to listen to it and I can make judgments and I can appreciate it. But it's just, to me, it's never going to go past a certain level because she caters to an audience that I'm never going to associate with. Do you see what I mean? Like, she very much fills a quota for me, which is unfortunate, I think.
I guess it just depends where you sit with the album, I suppose. Like, I find, like, even though I probably wouldn't fit into what would be the demographic for her album, I do find that I can listen to her music and really enjoy it. Just because, not for the lyrical quality of it, but just because of its, like you said, the upbeat nature. I find it quite cathartic music. Like, you can really just enjoy yourself listening to her music.
I know so many people with, this is an awful thing to say, and completely,
here we go,
really credible music taste. And that sounds awful because I totally don't believe in that. And like, my whole show, what I do on Saturday, is about how having good music taste doesn't exist and you just like what you like. But the whole idea of, like, you know, liking good music, like, I'm doing big inverted commas here. And they all say, you know what, I really like Taylor Swift. Like, for example, James Shakespeare, the head of music at LSR, he is really, really into music and he thinks Taylor Swift is great. She's very appreciated.
I think that's just because of, like, there is the debate over whether she does actually write her own music and how many people she's actually got behind her. But before, I think there's still that appreciation that she's involved in the songwriting process, like with the deluxe version of her album.
Oh, that's her proving it.
She was proving the fact that she is, like, involved in the songwriting process and the production of her music. And fair enough, she has teamed up with bigger names like Shellback and Max Martin. But I think people really forget the idea that she is fully involved with what she does, and all her music comes from her own experiences, as opposed to the generic, like, Katy Perry.
Yeah,
like,
I love Katy Perry.
I love Katy Perry, but, you know, some artists, they do just go for the cliche.
It's completely true. We're going to start playing some of the songs off this new album. This is track number 9, which we all have a comment about in common. So I'm going to play it first, and then we're going to chat about it in a minute. This is Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift.
Forever, but this is gonna take me down. He's so tall and handsome as said, no one has to know what we do. His hands are in my hair, his clothes are in my room, and his voice is a familiar sound. Nothing lasts forever.
Hello, you're listening to Album Review Show, and we are looking at 1989 by Taylor Swift. That was Wildest Dreams. And we have all agreed that sounds exactly like Lana Del Rey.
Definitely.
I mean, Taylor, what were you thinking?
It's got the whole moody vibe to
exactly,
it.
But there's even one particular song it sounds like, and I was listening to it, and I thought, I really, really recognise this. Like, has she done a song like this before? Went through Lana Del Rey. Because I am a Lana Del Rey fan, looked through the album and I played the song and I played them next to each other, literally exactly the same. And the lyrics, and I just think it's a bit of a sellout
track.
Off
the Paradise album.
It's like the deluxe edition. Yeah. So that kind of annoyed me. Take it with a pinch of salt, though. I mean, it's kind of formulaic, which is where I kind of started losing it, saying, you know, this is filling a quota. So... what do you guys think? You've remained impartial till now, but the time has come.
No. Just
one word, no.
I do like Taylor Swift, and I love the album Red, and I like all her other stuff. This album, I'm just like, where did it go wrong? I understand why people like it, but then I think you shouldn't. Like, with that, I don't like Lana Del Rey anyway, but I see what you're saying about she's just trying to be different from the whole, I talk about being in love with my boyfriend, and I'm like, if that's what you do, just do it.
Yeah,
like, that song Styles apparently about Harry Styles, which I think is funny. But
then don't you think that you kind of need sort of space to mature, especially through albums? I mean, I personally think she should have done it a while ago, but I guess there's that kind of you have to move away from it at some point. Like, I'm going to briefly talk about Thurston Moore's new album in a bit, and he really does that. And like, even though you can really notice, like, okay, so there's been a massive progression with this album, like, there's an obvious intention to mature, and she keeps saying it in interviews and stuff.
Nah.
I think you kind
nah.
of...
it's all for show, right?
Yeah?
I'll give you my opinion. Instead of listening to... what was that track called? Out of the Woods, was it?
No, the last track was called Wildest Dreams by Lana Del Rey.
Instead of
listening
to Wildest Dreams, I sat here on Google... looking at pictures of cats with Taylor Swift. And if you have a good picture with... if anyone listening, if you have a good picture of Taylor Swift with a cat, then tweet This Is LSR.
Yeah, tweet us at This Is LSR.
With a picture of Taylor Swift with a cat, because, in my opinion, it was far more interesting than that What was that? I'll give it to her. Like, her older stuff was quite catchy, and I do like Shake It Off that you're putting in the background. It's it is very, like, there we go.
The bit where she really gets going.
Who goes sassy? You get that on when, like, you're in a pre-drinking event, and that is, like, the one. But it really...
Good insight into your life.
Who listens? Like, I never... I don't think... I was about to say, who listens to the rest of the album? Who buys... When I say
we do.
Me. You guys do. I was here for Mallory Knox, and it does sound really stereotypical that the person... If you've been listening through the whole show, that I'm not going to like the Taylor Swift. I do like Taylor Swift. I like chart music and stuff like that. But what was that?
Red was more mature than this.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
Red was such a disappointment, I thought.
Wow, we've got such different
cracking albums.
There's so many filler songs on Red, it was ridiculous.
See, I feel like that, I don't know Red at all, but I feel like that about this album. So I can't really comment, I guess. But
with Red, you could tell what the singles would be.
And I
predicted what the singles would be from it, and...
That shows you everything wrong with Taylor Swift there. Like, if you can predict the singles...
Oh, I can't predict the singles with the new one. With Red, the album before this one, you could predict the singles. And
were they all singles?
The ones I predicted, like, yeah.
Really?
I Knew You Were Trouble.
Oh, that's
Red, 22.
Oh, I hate that
song. The goat version.
That just...
So much better than Taylor Swift.
Don't we have the goat save somewhere on the system?
I'm sure we do, but I think for the sake of our listeners, I might spare them.
No, if we can get that in the next song, that would definitely be better.
Okay, no, I'll try that, because we're going to listen to one more Taylor Swift song. Do you think this one might be a single, Out of the Woods?
Probably.
She already did it as like a pre-release single. In the run-up.
There we go.
Whether she re-releases it, I think her next single, from what I've read, I don't know if it's legit, it might be Blank Space.
Oh, yeah, I reckon so. That's a good one.
It's
the
second one on the album, so it'll probably be.
Yeah, so really quickly, before we play the song, marks out of 10. Kieran?
8 or 9.
Ooh, interesting. Adam?
I haven't listened to it, so just...
A solid 3.
A solid...
Beth?
4 or 5.
I would give it I always go for the 0.5s. I would give it a 5.5.
I look so awfully enthusiastic.
Do not listen to
her in the corner.
Bad Blood is the worst song.
Bad Blood is the worst one. I like
Blank
Space.
Welcome to New York. It hurts.
Oh my god, no. Welcome to New York is awful. So we're going to be playing Out of the Woods. This is Taylor Swift.
Thank you.
So now we're doing This Week in Album History, and you've got Room on Fire by The Strokes, which came out yesterday in 2003, and this is Reptilia, which was their first release off the album. Oh, I love The Strokes. That's such a good song. That was released in 2003, and that was our This Day in Album History. Oh, and there it comes again. I just can't get enough. But so we've been talking about Taylor Swift and Mallory Knox, and now I'm really briefly gonna give you a recommendation for what to listen to next week. Have you guys heard of Thurston Moore?
I hadn't until you mentioned.
Heard.
Never
so
heard of them.
This is the kind of thing where, you know, I could, him, yeah,
yeah, him.
And we can be like, this is our recommendation for the week for you to go away and listen to. Thurston Moore was in Sonic Youth. He was in Sonic Youth, and he has released a couple of solo albums since then. He was, just going to really briefly describe, he was going out with Kim Gordon in Sonic Youth, and they broke up really recently, which is not really recently. But
is that why this song's called The Best Day?
No, see, this is the thing. This is the interesting context behind it, because his last album was like, I'm so sad, like really Taylor Swift-y, like, why, Kim, why? And then this one is like, yay, I'm really happy, because he's just moved to England and he's loving it. Like, and he said this album's all about how happy he is. And he's got this, like, this wicked band line up. Like, the bassist is from, I was going to say Bullet for My Valentine, My Bloody Valentine, very different band. And he's got some another guy from Sonic Youth in there, and he's just, you can tell he's just kind of completely optimized his life. Like, he said, you know what, I'm really good at Sonic Youth music. His last album was a lot, like, moved away from it a lot, very moody, very emotional. This one is just going right back to the sort of chuggy guitars of Sonic Youth, and chuggy. And I just think it's a really good album. It moves in quite gradually. Like you were saying, like, the first few tracks are quite very instrumental, quite long. But it's kind of an homage to Sonic Youth, I think, because it's just so, you can tell, you can just immediately tell. It's in the same style, and you know he's good at something. So if you are or have ever been or would like to be a Sonic Youth fan, listen to this album. It came out on the 20th of October.
It's got a weird album cover.
Yeah, the album cover is his mum in the sea with a dog. Whoa. In the 1950s. I love it. Whoa. I think it's cool. It's a bit weird. It doesn't really match the music.
That was my album cover idea.
You'll have to have a cat, not a dog. Like Taylor Swift.
Oh, God. So, yeah, this is like our album to take away for the week. So give it a download. I can't... you've listened to it, haven't you, Beth?
Yes.
What would you give out of 10?
About... a 5 at the moment. I haven't given it that much of a chance, but songs are just too long for my liking.
Okay, see, this is my kind of thing. I really like it. I definitely give it. I'm just always given with the 8s. This is. I'll give it an 8.5. I like my 0.5s. So yeah, this is. I'm going to play the title track off the album to end with. But we've had a good show.
Yeah,
if only we had longer. Yeah, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks. We've had a lot of fun. Come and join us again. But we'll be back at the same time next week at 6. Next up is The Selector with Dangerous Jag. So don't miss that.